So, Julie, how does sound therapy work? How is it that it has an effect on our sense of well-being?
I want to take it back to just sound, because when you say sound therapy, it's just kind of a general name for a lot of different things. But sound in itself, we have to remember that our bodies are comprised of a great percentage of water. It varies. People will throw out different percentages. I tend to believe it's around 80%. And when you take that into consideration and realize that our cells are composed of a great portion of water, sound vibrates. Sound travels through water. I mean, there's research that proves that. Think of submarines underwater and sonar effect and so forth, and how the sound will travel underwater so efficiently. Well, when we hear sound, regardless of what the sound is, whether we're hearing sound outside and we're hearing the birds sing, or we're hearing a garbage truck go by, or an air hammer, which can be assaulting.
Yeah.
It's a situation where that sound, whatever it is, that bounces or vibrates against our body. It actually penetrates and goes into the cells. And the cells have this miraculous event that takes place. Under normal conditions, we have what's called nitric oxide in the body that gets released. It's an important molecule. Hmm. It is one of the smallest molecules. It's one nitrogen of atom bound to one oxygen atom. It's fundamental to all life, to humans, to animals, to insects, to plants. It is made in our vascular, nerve, and immune cells. And so when that puffing action takes place in the cells, we're in a state of good health or well-being. And when we're under stress, that gets inhibited. That flatlines, basically. And so it's really important that we maintain a sense of de-stress if it's possible.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, to consider is our brain waves. When we are in a state of relaxation, our brain waves slow down. We do that normally and naturally when we're meditating, taking a walk in the woods on a beautiful day and there's no stress around you. You're just out there enjoying nature and really feeling gratitude and upliftment and everything. That is a time when our brain waves slow down. We'll move out of our active beta brain waves into alpha. And alpha is optimal for helping us to de-stress. It's even better if we can get into theta. And theta brain waves are when, I don't know if you meditate, but those people who meditate and are able to go really deep into their meditation quite often go into a theta brainwave state. And that is very restorative to the body. Well, in sound therapy, what I do, especially in my practice, is I introduce instruments that are, all my instruments I consider organic in that they're not electrical. So they are all acoustic instruments that I play slow and deliberate to help the body, the client's body, the client's entire body, reach a deep state of relaxation. And that's basically, in a nutshell, very simplistically, of course. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a psychologist. But I can tell you that it works. I've been doing this for a while now, and I've had the good fortune to be able to study with some of the best and most respected masters in sound healing in the United States, primarily in California and New York.
Well, that was something that I wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
Is how did you become interested in this, and how does one train to do the kind of work that you do?
I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. I taught at Kalamazoo Valley Community College for about 18 years, and my brother died suddenly. 2 years almost to the day later, my mother died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And like so many people that experience loss, dramatic loss of someone that you are very close to, it kind of throws you into a tailspin. And so
yeah.
I found myself questioning things. You know, I love teaching. I'd done it for so many years, and it was just the connection with the students was remarkable. And I love that connection and that interaction. But I just felt like I needed to step back, and I needed to get my feet back underneath me, because I certainly felt like my world had been rocked.
Yeah.
So I retired. That was back in 2012. 12, I believe. And I had already been studying other modalities. I was a Reiki master at that point, and I'd studied a few other modalities. I had my, I was a minister, although I never practiced. I didn't feel like ceremonial things for me was where I was supposed to go, but I felt like I was to be in service and that I was to minister to people, not necessarily in a religious way, but to at least be authentic with people and help people find their authenticity. And so about 2 months into my retirement, I had a very dear friend of mine from high school call me and tell me that she had kidney cancer. Oh, dear. And she wondered if I still did Reiki and would I consider working on her, because she was really nervous. She was facing surgery, mm-hmm. and she was extremely stressed. And so at that point, you know, I was doing things like voice toning and of course Reiki and drumming, and really wasn't doing anything with any instruments per se. But I met with her about 3 weeks prior to her surgery, and then continued. Ashley was able to go into the hospital and do some Reiki on her there. And then on the other side of it, about 3 weeks after, worked with her. Well, when she went back to her doctor for a post-op check, and her surgery went beautifully, by the way, she very little bleeding. And I mean, all of this, of course, is anecdotal, but what happened was it convinced me that if we can get ourselves into a state of relaxation, perhaps we wouldn't be quite so stressed. Yeah. And so I kind of followed that and just started playing with different instruments. Well, my son, who was living in California at the time, was so happy with what I was doing, because he said, you know, you found your path. Mm. And our daughter did too. He sent me a little bowl from California, from a Tibetan shop out there. Now, this was not a traditional Tibetan bowl. It was a cast bowl, but it had a beautiful tone. And so I was seeing people at the house doing Reiki on them. And so I started to incorporate this little bowl in the session, and people would ooh and ah and start to relax even more. So in talking to my son, he says, well, you know, there's a Tibetan bowl school just down the street from me out here. No. And so I got a hold of Dionne Mandel out there. She is the founder of the Tibetan bowl school in Encinitas, California. She's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I studied with her for a little while. She really goes into the cultural aspects of sound healing utilizing Tibetan bowls. She is a master. I was not drawn to go down that road and specialize in that, but I certainly learned a lot from her with regard to the bowls and the respect that I have for the bowls now as a direct result of my studying with her. And from there, it springboarded to New York, where I had the great honor of studying with Dr. John Beaulieu, who is considered he's the founder of tuning fork therapy. He's been he's been researching. He is probably most respected because of his deep research in sound therapy. He's a board certified naturopathic doctor. He's a psychologist. He's a composer and a musician. He's written several books. His website is biosonics.com. And so he has these wonderful tuning forks that he sells, and he trains in how to use these. Now, the more I'm practicing here in Portage and in the Kalamazoo area, the more I'm realizing there's no one here in the Midwest to learn from. And not only that, I'm hearing people as I'm talking to them about learning about tuning forks and so forth. Oh, yeah, I got a tuning fork. I'm going to use it here and use it there, and I'm going to use it on my child. And I'm not realizing there's contraindications to using tuning forks. You have to be careful. These are medical grade instruments. They're not musical instruments. And so it occurred to me that perhaps there needed to be someone to teach that. And so this was after I'd been studying intensively for about 2 or 3 years, and many people asking me, when are you going to teach? When are you going to teach? So I offered a class in my home. There were 6 people who enrolled. And because I'm a teacher and I know how to write a syllabus and I know how to put a class together, I set it up in 6 modules and wrote textbooks for all of them. Set this up so that I could teach one module and then we'd wait a month or two and then teach the next. So people would actually have time to practice what they learned. And they would have me as their mentor to bounce things off or if they had problems. It was highly successful. Mm. And then I had more, I didn't advertise, I didn't have a website then. And then more people wanted to learn. So my home became not only where I had a treatment room practicing on clients, but I also was teaching on weekends. And our house was running out of space, so we decided to add on to our house. And so we added a acoustically beautiful sound room that faces this. We've got a pond in the back of our property and so forth. And so now I'm doing sessions in that room. It was just all word of mouth, and it kept growing and growing. And I finally got to the point where my family had no privacy. And I had to, you know, so anyway, long story short, I moved to my office that I have now on Center Street in Portage. Yeah, so it's been a very organically unfolding process. I feel very privileged to be where I am now. I still continue to study with Dr. John Beaulieu. In fact, my alumni students, we had a Zoom class with him just a couple weeks ago. Last year in, 2019, the very first group of people that went through my class with me, we decided that we need to give back to our community in Kalamazoo. We need to broaden this education of sound therapy, because so many times people would say, you're a what? What is that?
Yeah.
And people don't know how to explain it, because truly sound therapy is not a vocation that the state of Michigan recognizes. That we hope to change at some point.
Yeah.
And so how do you change things like that? Through education. So this group of past students of mine, we formed a nonprofit. It's called Wind Willow Consortium, and it is for the sole purpose of educating the community and bringing speakers to the community to further that goal. We were supposed to have our big annual event in July of this year. Well, of course, we all know what happened, right? We were to have it out at the Nature Center. We've had so much outpouring from the community supporting what we do. We've been partnering with the Nature Center. We were going to have the event out there. We had entertainment lined up. We had speakers coming in from New York.
Yeah.
You know, and sadly, everything's just been put on hold. Of course, everybody's eager to move forward with it. And tentatively right now, we're hoping for next summer that will be clear.
Oh, I hope so.
You know, we just, none of us want to do anything that's not going to be safe.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of where things have gone.
So tell us, Julie, a little bit more about the instruments that you use. You mentioned Tibetan bowls, but there's others that you use too, flutes and gongs and chimes.
Yeah.
And then if you can kind of walk us through on how a therapy session works. If somebody comes in to be de-stressed, how does that work?
Well, of course, we're not doing that right now,
and
I'll tell you about what we're doing alternatively for that,
yeah,
because I am still working with clients. But in a regular non-COVID world where we would have sessions, a client would come to me. We would sit and chat about, you know, how are you sleeping? I mean, very general questions. I don't get into particulars because that's not my job. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a therapist in that regard. I'm not a healer, and that's what I teach my students. We are not sound healers. We are therapists in that we facilitate the environment for the body to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a huge distinction there. And so my clients, they come, we chat for a few minutes. They're fully clothed on a heated massage table, typically face up.
Yeah.
And I start with a little bit of verbal guided meditation just to get them, you know, take a couple deep breaths and so forth, give them an uplifting thought. And then I will do some Reiki on them. From that point, I bring in tuning forks. And tuning forks are placed strategically on the body. I've been trained in how to place those to elicit a deep state of relaxation. I'm not trying to get in, like, for instance, if somebody comes in and says, you know, I've pulled a muscle in my leg, fix it. That's not my job. My job is to get the body into that relaxed state so the body can fix it. And the muscles relax, therefore they take a break from hurting. And you'd be surprised how just in an hour that stepping away, that slowing down those brainwaves can facilitate a faster recuperation. After I've introduced the tuning forks, and that actually becomes focus of the session. So that can last from 15 to 20 minutes working with tuning forks. And then I bring Tibetan bowls in. I might bring a gong in, and gongs are played therapeutically. So there's a definite rhythm and a specific type of gong, and they're played gently and sensitively so that there's no jarring of any state. We have the person so relaxed at that point. I don't want to wake them up. I don't want to alarm them. And so everything is played.
Do people often fall asleep?
Always.
Oh, okay.
Always. And they'll wake up and they'll accuse me of not playing the, I mean, this is really funny. Well, I thought you were going to play the bowls today. And I'm like, look at the clock. You've been under for over an hour. I have sometimes when I can't wake people up.
Oh.
Because they go so deep, they'll go into that theta brainwave, and it's difficult sometimes to wake them up. And so the other thing, too, is I provide a safe environment.
Mm.
It's quiet. The lights are low. It's just lovely. I place bowls on the body, around the body. There's probably, on average, 21 Tibetan bowls, high-grade master bowls that are played on and around the body. The body is revered. The body is treated with such respect and reverence. That in itself creates a safe environment.
Yeah.
And then when the person is awake and off the table, we always offer chocolate because dark chocolate helps to ground the body. There are chemical components in chocolate that will help to ground the body. And so I always have a piece of high-grade dark chocolate for those people that want it. And water. Water is imperative to drink after you've had a session. And why? Because the body is composed of water, we need to replenish that. We need to keep those cells fully hydrated so that the sound will continue its work. Mind you, 24 to 48 hours after a sound session, the effects are still working. They're still being processed in the body. And so a person may leave and feel really relaxed and just want to go home and go to bed. Some people get really zipped up and they just want to go play. We always tell people for the next 24 to 48 hours, just give yourself permission to take it easy.
Yeah.
You've earned it. So you can see it's a process that's very gentle, that's very kind, and very conducive to stress relief.
So now with COVID, and you can't have people coming in,
true,
but you're continuing to work with people. True. How does that work?
Well, let me tell
phone.
You, this was purely selfish. I have such a connection with my clients. And I, like I said earlier, I was having some withdrawal because I wasn't in contact with them. So in sitting in my meditation, I got this intuitive guidance that, you know, you could still work with them. It's all vibration. And truly, the ears typically are the worst receptors of sound because when we process sound, it's processed through the skin, right? And so I have to think, I'm being forced to think creatively. Well, if they're not going to be in proximity of me, how am I going to get that sound into the skin? Well, when we engage sound over the phone, whether it's voice, instruments, tuning forks, that activates the auditory nerve. And the auditory nerve is like, I get into the brain. Oh, I can slow the brain waves down. Oh, we can now puff nitric oxide. And so I propose this to my clients. I send an email out. Anybody that would like to do some research with me, let me know. Free of charge. I would love to do this to get some feedback from you in exchange for a phone sound session. Now, I also was in touch with Dr. John in New York and told him what I proposed to do. And he said, absolutely, I'm going to be doing the same thing. I'm doing telehealth right now. I'll be working with some of New York's first responders and some people suffering with PTSD. This is the perfect medium and the perfect time to try this. So originally, because I'd not done it before, it was wonky. You know, I'm like, I'm just using my phone, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a sound
producer.
Would
it be on speakerphone for?
I mean, it was all trial and error, right? So the first month, my clients were just very kind. You know, in their feedback, like, well, Julie, it was really nice chatting with you, but you might want to consider this or you might. So it was really trial and error, but it worked out because then I found out it depends on the equipment, right? And I chatted with Dr. John. He goes, oh, yeah, and you can have the best equipment at your end. And if they have crap equipment, they're going to get a crap session. So now not only am I being educated, but I'm having to educate on the receiving end as well. So telling clients what type of ear, all they need are their earbuds that came with their phone. Our new phones that have these earbuds with the mic and the cord, those are exceptional. And that's what I was using then. And lo and behold, the sound session started improving. And then I started adding more instruments. And then it was a point where I'm done after, you know, now these sessions are a little shorter. They last maybe 45 minutes. But at the end, I'm going, okay, your session is done today. And there's no sound except this.
I was just going to ask you.
And so I hung up, right? I'll just say namaste and hang up. And so now I preface.
That's what I was wondering, if your patients are still falling asleep and an hour later they wake up and see their phone is still on.
but you see what's happening. And in talking with Dr. John last week, he said it's almost a better way of introducing sound to a client because they feel safe. He said, you have to remember, we're all vibrational beings living in a vibrational universe.
Yeah.
And it's absurd to think that we're separated from one another just because of distance, because we're not. And so when we engage over the phone, the vibrations are felt by the person receiving them. And it also changes us. So we're vibrationally putting that, I don't even want to say energy, but that vibration through the phone lines, that's impacting both parties. It's setting up a resonance that is relaxing and safe, and we're replicating that safe environment like I have in my treatment room at my office. Now I've recreated it in that person's home. And I've recreated it actually in my home too, because I'm feeling safe because, hey, I don't have anybody coughing on me. I don't have anybody that I have to worry about protecting from a virus that's invisible, right? So we're both feeling safer. Dr. John actually has a fancy name for it. He calls it, it's a form of quantum sympathetic resonance. He said, we just have to adjust our thinking that we're bigger than four walls. We are not confined by four walls. We can connect with, I mean, think about it. The commercials on TV, they're saying things like, call your family, call your mom. You're not alone, right? During this whole COVID thing, make those connections over the phone. Well, there's a reason for it. You hear someone's voice, that's the first sound instrument we all have. We're born with it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing we hear. And that's the first thing we resonate with, our mother's voices or our father's voice. But it's that voice. And so when we call somebody, we're giving them, in essence, a sound therapy session just by chatting with them. Now, of course, that's assuming that you're not calling and yelling at somebody or creating stress and vice versa, right? But it's so powerful. And so now introducing instruments in a deliberate, meditative way, not only are all of these clients of mine responding in a favorable way, part of it is because they've heard these instruments physically in my office. So their brains have already entrained to those. So when I hit a gong or I hit a Tibetan bowl or tuning forks, their brain's going, oh yeah, I remember that. Okay, bye. And they go to sleep. Right?
Yeah, almost like a Pavlovian effect there. Yeah.
Yeah. A new person, a new client that's never experienced a sound session in person has just as much advantage as someone who's seasoned because there's no expectation. And it's promoted in a way that they're going to resonate with it. You know, I feel very confident with that. In fact, now I'm switching to teaching virtual classes for new students. I'm going to be starting, there'll be a new module of classes starting in September. I'm now going to be doing, instead of doing concerts, and I was working with Kristen Fiore at Down Dog Yoga. I've worked with her for many years and do sound meditations there. We do the seasonal ones at the different solstices and equinoxes. And the numbers were growing in that. Last December, we had over 40 people at the last one. It was just amazing. And people falling asleep in a big room. You have no idea. Snoring is welcome. You know, I call it divine purring. And it's just such a lovely physical reinforcement and validation that we're all stressed.
Yeah.
Sound therapy is needed more than ever. And so in my boohoo time, when I was feeling sorry for myself that I couldn't be in my office, now I'm like, oh my gosh, I've wasted time. I need to get back to work.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited, you know, at the prospect of of teaching new people and teaching them in a way now that there are no barriers and we can reach people across the country this way. And so that's what I'm really hoping will take effect, that we have people who are trained to do this, who look to the masters of sound therapy rather than just trying to draw upon their own skill set, but really know that there are people out there like Dr. John, like Dion Mandel, who are mentors for those of us that have questions, and they're approachable, and there are other people too. I mean, I'm neglecting, there's so many masters out there, Jonathan Goldman, Marjorie DeMoink, Eileen Day McCusick, Don Campbell. All these people are just really vital to what we're facing right now. The vibrations that are out there right now are not always productive. And so we need to find ways to tap into our own innate ability to de-stress.